But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and why don't we stand, and we're going to read this chapter. It's only like, I think, 18 or 13 verses. It's a small one. So I'm going to read it through, and then we'll dive into it, and we'll get into the Word of God. So let's pray. Lord, Father God, we do thank you this morning as we look to your word. Bless it, multiply it, encourage us through your word. Father, it's given to us to serve a purpose in our life. And that is so that we can draw close to you. So that we can come to know you and experience you in our lives. The word of God is there for our learning. You tell us that it's there for our learning, that we can learn from it. We can learn from the many men and women who are written in the Bible, that their shortcomings and their failures, but also their blessings and successes. And so, Father, as we look to chapter 3, may you bless us. May you speak to each and every one of us. And let us hear what the Spirit has to say to us. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, 1. So let me get a drink of water before I start. Verse 1. Paul, he goes on and says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are not still able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? For when one says, 'I'm of Paul,' and another, 'I'm of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plant is anything, nor he who water, but God who gives the increase. Now he who planted is he who waters, and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. But it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, it will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? And let no one deceive himself. And if anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, which whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God. Amen. All right, go ahead and you can have your seats. Now, I want to share this proverb with you. And you might have heard this before, and I think I have said this more than once. But there's a saying that there's three types of people in the world. Okay? Here they are. Those who make things happen. Okay? Those who watch things happen. And those who scratch their heads and wonder what in the heck happened. The question here is, which one do you think you fall under? Are you the type of person that make things happen? See, Carmen's that type of person. She always makes things happen. If I can't have my way out there, all I got to do is give her a call. And this is how she gets things taken care of, is because they get to the point, okay, just stop talking. I'll do it. Seriously. I mean, she drives them to the point. And, you know, that's funny. It's funny, but actually the scripture tells us that that's how we are to be with God. That you are to pray and to talk to God and come to God and to the point where, you know, okay, I'm gonna take care of it. I'm going to answer it. And she can, I'm not like that, okay? She's more direct. I can be direct and indirect, but I can also get things done as well. And then there's those who just kind of like to sit back and watch things happen. They sit back behind the scenes and they just watch. And, okay, I'm just here, but I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to watch. And then there's those, I call those are the Medici people. They like to, you know, we're all got that in us. We like to watch things happen, especially when it involves authorities, police and everything on the freeway. How many of you are the ones that are holding up the traffic? Because you're watching, you want to slow down and say, hey, what's going on here? You know, I'm the type of guy, say, hey, what's going on? You need any help? You know, and I like to watch things happen. Then there's those who just, what the heck just happened? I don't know. It's like, but those are the three types of people. Well, Paul, here he ends in chapter 2. If you remember, here in the end of chapter 2 and here in chapter 3, which we just read, he puts people in three classifications as well. Because in chapter 2, if you remember, 2 weeks ago, he gave us a contrast between the natural man compared to the spiritual man, right? And he tells us that the natural man, he's that man who does not know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He's considered unregenerate. He's that man who's not born again, okay? He's not born again. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit in his life. Therefore, he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't know them. They're foolishness to them. In fact, Paul tells us that in chapter 2. Hey, the things of God are foolishness to those who are what? Perishing. He can't know them, for he's spiritually discerned. In other words, he doesn't have spiritual discernment. He can't discern the things that God's doing compared to the things that are happening in the world. We see things happening in the world and we say, that's God's will. God's doing that, and rightly so. Everything that you see happening, that's all part of Scripture. Prophecy being fulfilled. Why? For the return of our Lord and Savior. For what? For the great tribulation and for the great thousand-year period and then the time when God will come down and he's going to finish it all and we're going to live here on earth and everything is just going to be, you're going to be perfect. Can you imagine that being perfect? No, look at the people around us. One day that person in Christ is going to be perfect. You won't be able to say nothing against that person. You won't find nothing, no faults in that person because of Jesus Christ. They're going to be perfect, except for Frank. He says, my wife's perfect, and he has to, or he'll be sleeping on the couch. Yeah. But the natural man, he can't receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him and he cannot know them, for he's again spiritually discerned. He can't know why. Those who don't know the Lord often look at us who do know the Lord and they can't understand why we as Christians do the things that we do, or why we do those things for others, why we do these things for the Lord. He doesn't see the things that we see or hear the things that we hear. Those things that come from God, from the Word of God as we read it, the natural man, he's living in darkness. In fact, Paul tells us that. And it's that darkness that doesn't allow him to be able to see and to know the things of God. Now, I'm going to share that with you because Paul writes that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, which we'll get into in about maybe about 4 weeks or so, 4 Sundays, maybe not. But he says this. He says, it's Satan who is the god of this evil world. He has made him blind. Who? Who did he make blind? The natural man, the one who's not saved. He made him blind, unable to see the glorious light of the gospel that is shining upon him, or to understand the amazing message that we preach about the glory of Christ, who is God. He can't discern that. He can't understand that. They don't understand that. And Jesus himself in John chapter 8, verse 42, listen to what he said. He said, he was telling the Pharisees, if that were so, then you would have loved me. For I have come to you from God, and I'm not here on my own, but God sent me. Now, why can't you understand what I'm saying? It is because you are prevented from doing so, for you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things that he does. And he was a murderer from the beginning, a hater of truth, and there is not one ounce of truth in him. And when he lies, it is perfectly normal, for he's the father of lies. You know what's scary? Is when Jesus said, when he lies, when he does evil, when he does things wrong, it's perfectly what? Normal. You know what's scary about that? People out here in the world are doing evil things, and to them, it's normal. I was like that. I was doing what was natural, what was normal, because I didn't know the Lord. So when I did evil things, that was normal to me. In fact, I used to tell my friends, I say, man, I can't wait to get out of school, because once school happens, havoc. Go out there and do some evil things and go out there and have feet that are swift to do evil. But that's Satan. And Jesus said there's only two type of children in this world. You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. You can't be in between. In fact, he said you're either hot or you're cold. You can't be lukewarm. You're either good or evil or whatever. But there's only two types of children. And we are God's children. God wants everybody to be his children. But there's some who prefer to be a child of Satan, and they feel that that's perfectly normal. So in realizing what is keeping many from knowing the truth, who God is, who Jesus is, the natural man can't receive, neither can they know, because why? Satan has blinded them to the truth of God. Satan has. And you know, today, a lot of us were from the 70s, 60s, and the 50s. Some of you, you know, you were born in the 80s and 90s, and we got Lorenzo. He was born, when was he born? This year. But you remember back in the 70s, when I remember me being a teenager or a child, you didn't hear a whole lot about Satan. You didn't see a whole lot about Satan because it was something that was kept. It wasn't something that was natural. It wasn't something that was normal. Did you know that today it is normal for Satan to be revealed all over? Physically seeing him all over and being accepted. I saw a commercial. It was a man who was dressed up like Satan, totally red horns, big guy. And he had a girlfriend or a wife. And they were, I can't remember if they were arguing and she was just telling how much she loved him. And I thought, wow, that's just a commercial. But they don't realize that they are playing with fire. Playing with fire, because that's actually reality. Those two individuals are blinded by Satan himself, and they are exposing and they are exalting Satan right there in such a subtle way. We see it everywhere. You see it a lot on TV. Look at all the movies on TV. Now you don't even need cable. You can just download free, come on, help me out here, free apps that you can watch all the movies you want for free. And you see, you go in there and you, I like to go because I like the old ones, but you see a lot of demonic movies, a lot that are just blatantly exposing and professing the devil. There's a commercial on the NFL where it shows one of the players or one of the coaches, he pushes the elevator button, the elevator opens up, and guess who's standing there? Satan. And he goes, going down? And the guy's looking at him like, I'll take the stairs. But it's true. When I was, the last time I did that, I tried that. I went in the elevator and someone came in and they said, going down? I said, nope, I'm going up, but I am going down to the first floor. And I actually use that as a witness. And I even told, it was even at the marriage retreat. And I told him, I said, hopefully you're going up as well. But when we realize that it's Satan who's blinding and keeping many to know the truth, they can't receive it because they're blind. They're not going to know it because he blinded them to the truth. So how important is it for us to pray for the natural person? Pray for those who aren't saved. How important it is for us who are Christians to pray for those who are dying in their sin, those who don't know the Lord. And we need to pray that God would open their eyes to the truth, that God would deliver them from the power of Satan, which they are being held by, and from that blindness that Satan has placed over them and even over their minds concerning the things of God, concerning Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. Remember, Paul said that those who are perishing, they see that what Jesus did at the cross, it's foolishness to them. It's a laughter. It's a joke. It's a funny. How would a man go and suffer for many or for someone who is evil? But that's what he did. And Satan, and we need to pray that God will expose Satan and that he will bind him and expose him in order that they may be free and capable of knowing the truth. How many of you know people like that? People who are blinded, people who are under bondage to sin, who are blind by Satan. They need to be free, set free. They need to be able to know the truth, be able to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior just like us. We were like that. I was like that until somebody had that passion in their heart to say, hey, you need to have Jesus Christ. And I was raised a Catholic. I was born a Catholic. My dad, you said, you're going to die as a Catholic. And it wasn't until I was challenged to accept Jesus Christ, to accept God in my life. And if he's real, my life will change. If not, I'll be the same gang member person that you are, troublemaker that you are. Well, we like challenges. Everybody likes challenges. So I took the challenge, and I did ask, and I said a prayer, and God did reveal himself, and I did change. And that's why I'm standing here before you. And I think one of the greatest miracles of all is what? A change life. All of you here aren't the same anymore. Think about how you used to be. And Jesus, he died when we were what? Still sinners. When you were the worst you can be. Guess what? That's when Jesus said, not yet, not yet. Wait, I want him to be worse. I want him to be more worse. You know, he not yet, not yet. Okay, it's time. You're getting saved. When you were the worst. God, thank God that he didn't say, hey, what? Hey, man, get your act together first, and then I'll accept you. God, I want you in my life. Nah, you need to get your life right. Go and, you know, do good and save and help feed the world or whatever. Do good. And then when you're ready, come back, and then I'll even think about changing you and accepting. God says, nope, you're perfect because I said, no, Lord, I can't. You know how many people told me, I need to get my life right before I accept Jesus Christ. That ain't going to never happen. Never happened. Because why? Satan has blinded our eyes. He holds that cover over the truth of what God wants to do, that natural man in us. And so we have to get to the point where Jesus said, hey, I want you just as you are. You're perfect because I'm going to clean you up. I'm gonna change your life. And that's exactly what he did. Now, in contrast to the natural man, so there's the natural man that Paul talks about in chapter 2. In contrast to the natural man, Paul also tells us about the spiritual man, okay? The one who's able to know and understand the things of God and to know their calling in God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, Paul said this regarding to the spiritual man. He says, but the spiritual man, he spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And even though we are spiritual men, even though we're saved and we're born again, and we understand the will of the Lord in our lives, the world, they just can't figure us out, right? They can't. They try. But what we do to them is foolishness to them. What we do as Christians. They can't understand why you go to church or you go to Bible study. They don't understand, hey, this is my day off. Why do you get up, you know, stay asleep? They can't understand that. They can't understand why we get up to read the Bible. We have devotions in the morning. Why we worship God and we pray and we worship the Lord. They don't understand this. They don't understand why you even give your money to the church. When I worked at General Dynamics, I had close to 2-hour lunch period because I would have to drive from Kearney Mesa to Lindbergh Field. And every time during lunch, before I opened up our department, I would pray. I would pray. So what I did when I was able to do, I would actually get on my knees and I would have my head to the ground and I would pray to God. So one time I was praying and I didn't know it, but then when I got done, I turned around. Couple of my coworkers were standing there watching me, and they were like tripping out. And one, he was like I freaked them out or something. And I said, "Hey guys, I'm praying to the Lord." They knew I was a Christian. I'm just praying to God. I'm just giving God the thanks. But he looked at me like, "This guy is weird." You know, they couldn't understand that. They don't understand it. It's foolishness. But the spiritual man, he's the one whose mind is now controlled by the Spirit of God, by Jesus himself. And we were taught, as we got into leadership, Chuck Smith, he used to say this. He used to say, you know, before we came to the Lord, man, we were a threefold being. In other words, we were body, soul, and spirit, okay? Before Christ in our life, we were controlled by the body appetites, by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and everything that made the body feel good. That was our priority. It was our priority over our soul and even over the spirit that was in us. And we did what was natural. And the spirit in us, he was, you know, it was at the bottom of the list of our minds. It was in last place because we were born what? Natural sinners. And then Paul, I'm going to give you a good description of the mind of the flesh, okay? A good description of it. Paul gives us one, that mind, that person who's against God. Listen to what he said in Romans chapter 8. He said this in verse 6. He said, for to be carnal minded is what? Who's sharp? Is what? Death. It's enmity. Death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but to live and to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, which means daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. And if heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified together with them. I mean, that's the contrast, what he tells us here in Romans. This is the contrast between the mind of the flesh and having the mind of Christ. And then when we became born again, guess what happened? By the Spirit of God, our lives switched. The body, mind, and spirit in us changes. We're no longer body, mind, and spirit. We become born again. Therefore, now we are spirit, soul, and body. Meaning that now we're controlled by the Spirit of God. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when the Spirit of God is priority, then we have the mind of the Spirit. We have the mind of Christ that is controlled by the Spirit of God. And Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Now we seek the Lord. We know the things of God. We know what God requires. We're not perfect. We still blow it. We still make mistakes, but we are no longer under that control or that bondage to that sin that wants to destroy our lives, wants to destroy our family. So these are the two types of people that Paul gives us here in chapter 2. And now here in chapter 3, Paul's going to introduce to us a third classification of a person. And he calls it the carnal man. Let's look at verse 1. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, I could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ, because I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able to. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, I'm of another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? So who's Paul talking to here? Well, he's talking to the believers in Corinth, but he's also speaking to us. And you know, I still see this today. You know, being a church back in when we started this fellowship, Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship, we started in 1986. And throughout that time, all the way up to now, I have seen this truth in the church. Oh, I like this pastor. I like that pastor. When this pastor ain't talking, then I'm not coming. I had a woman come to me and she said, you know what? Are you going to be teaching? No. Then I'm not coming. I wanted to say, wow, you're carnal. Because that's exactly what I just read. That's exactly what chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians says. When you start saying, hey, you're looking toward the man instead of the man, are you not carnal? That's what Paul says. So Paul tells him here in verse 1, he says, you know, I was hoping that I could speak to you as men and women who are spiritual, but I cannot. And you want to know why? Well, the reason why is in verse 3. Look at verse 3. Because you are still carnal. So let me ask you this. What is your definition of carnal, of being a carnal Christian? Think about it. You know, the Greek translation for carnal is the Greek word starkinos. It means fleshly. That's it, fleshly. That's what carnal means. And so Paul, he's describing a carnal person as one who is what? Dominated by the natural acts and his natural tendencies to act down, to live according to the flesh. We all do it. And some of us still do it. I mean, how many times being a pastor, again, just coming to church, I murdered, I think, about four people. Coming on the freeway because of my, what? My thought, oh, get up, you know. And Jesus said, if you think of it in your heart, it's just as if you committed it in the flesh, in the spirit. If you do it in the spirit, you're doing it in the flesh. Hatred. I have to repent. And you guys know, again, my antidote for that weakness, driving in the car and people just, oh, man, it's just road rage. But I don't get to the point of that bad. But I had to change my habit of that. You got to do something. You can't just let it take control of you. I had to do something. So I said, okay, from now on, I'm just going to picture my children. That's my daughter. Or that's my son. Or that's my wife. Boom. Beep, beep. Or somebody I know. And when I do that, guess what? I back off. And I said, because I don't want people to do that to my family, then why should I do it to others? The easy, simple way of handling it is just you make the difference. You be the difference. If possible, make peace with all men. So it's easier for me just to go in the slow lane and pass them by and then go back in the fast lane and slow down. No? No, I did catch myself doing that today. Just go your happy way. Do what you can. Don't act on that tendency or that to live out the flesh. But notice what he says in verse 1 here. Look at verse 1. Paul says, you know what? I could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Now, does that mean that those who are at Corinth, who are in the church of Corinth there, who Paul was addressing, were new believers? Paul, he's talking to born-again believers here, okay? Those who should have been growing, should be mature in their faith, those who should be walking with Christ, and those who should be within, involved in the ministry, those who were in the ministry. And the fact that Paul mentions here in verse 1, look at verse 1 right after where he says, as babes, he says, in Christ. It tells us that what? They are saved. They are saved. But instead of moving forward, instead of growing in the Lord, instead of maturing in the Lord, they remain spiritually stagnant, not doing anything to help with their spiritual growth. It's a pretty awful place to be in, because you're fighting a battle that you're not going to win. You're not going to win. Because why? When you accepted Jesus Christ, you don't fight like the world anymore. Your life changed. A good example of that is we were at a soccer game with my son, and there was a big guy. I mean, the goalie was huge. And my son, he's, you know, small like me. Went up against each other. He wanted to make a shot, and he went up, and they were like, boom, and the goalie fell. I was shocked. My son stood up, but the goalie said something to him, and then my son went, yeah, but look who fell. The guy got up, and he started saying something to my son. Well, I'm sitting in the bleachers. I didn't say anything, but there was a believer next to me, a brother in the Lord next to me. He got up, and he yells, why don't you pick on someone your own size? And I looked at him, and then I looked at the goalie facing my son. He went like this. He went. And, man, I saw that. He locked in on him, okay? And then he goes, and he sat down. Well, I'm sitting there after the game. I hear this yelling going on around the corner. And one of the sisters who were there came up, hey, you need to go over there because brother is going to get beat up. And I said, oh, brother. I went over there, and sure enough, that goalie was in his face. I'll kill you. Don't you ever talk to me. I will kill you. And you know what that brother did? Jesus loves you. Jesus, every time he said, I'll kill you right now. Come on, I'll kill you. Jesus loves you. Okay? And unfortunately, it was a little too late for that. Okay? And so I went over there, and I kind of went by there, and he was, I'll kill you. And I found out that the dude is a Marine. And so he was waiting down at the bottom. And so I walked down, and I said, you know, you're a Marine. You're supposed to represent our country, represent. I can't remember word for word what I said to him, but I was telling him, you're supposed to be the example. You're the Marine. And so what he did is he walked off and he left. But if that's, again, an example as a Christian, you're not going to win. We don't fight like the world fights anymore, guys. You're going to get beat up. Okay, I hate to say it. You're going to get beat up. Because why? You got the Holy Spirit in your life. You got the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life. You got the Word of God. And every time you get into the flesh and you start to react in the flesh, guess who's right there to remind you? No, the Holy Spirit. Hello, remember who you are. Remember. And guess what? The conviction of the Holy Spirit comes on you and you change. You just can't help but, I'm convicted. I'm already lost, you know. But again, as a Christian, we have to grow. We have to mature in the Lord. And Paul tells us that those who are saved, instead of they're carnal Christians, because they're not moving forward, they're not growing in Christ, they're not maturing. They're just remaining spiritually stagnant. They're not doing anything to help in their spiritual growth. Now, listen, there are three things that are said about the carnal man here that's keeping them in this rut. Three things. Get ready to write them down, okay? I want you to write them down. And then you can examine your own life. Verse 1. First thing, first point, is the fact that the carnal man is not spiritually mature. He's not spiritually mature. Verse 1 tells us that because Paul says, I couldn't speak to you as a spiritual people. They're living as babes in Christ, as baby Christians. And they are true believers. They're born again, and they should be more mature, more developed spiritually, but they're not growing in Christ. The carnal man does not know Christ or the things of God like he should. Their mind, their behavior, their actions are not focused upon Christ like they should be. And they have been believers, we're talking for a long time, but he knows little bit about Christ and God. I've been a Christian. I accept the Lord in 1978, and I've been serving the Lord since then. But I wasted a lot of years in my life as a pastor. When I think about what I should have been doing the minute I accepted the Lord, even when I became a pastor, I should have been doing a whole lot more. And I wasted a lot of time. And I regret it. But I'm just amazed at what God's doing to me now. It just blows my mind when I think about the things that I have done for the Lord and what I'm doing now, even standing up before you right here. I would never do that. I came from the hood over here with Fernando and Andy and a few other brothers. You would not see me come up here and do this, you know, if I was still hanging out like this. I mean, this is God. This is God moving. But again, the carnal man, he knows little because he's not growing. And then secondly, the second point is that the carnal man has to be fed with milk and not the meat of the word. Look what he says in verse 2. He says, I fed you with milk and not solid food. So what does this tell you about Paul's teaching that they're hearing? Does it mean Paul is not teaching them well? Doesn't mean that. Okay? It has nothing to do with the teaching. In fact, there are not two different types of teachers there that Paul's talking about. He said, hey, I'm the teacher. There's one for learning, and then there's one for unlearning. It'd be like, okay, I'm the pastor here of unlearning, so I'm going to teach you how to be unlearned this morning. Okay, and then Pastor Richard comes up. I'm the pastor of learning, so I'm going to teach you how to learn to teach you learning. There isn't nothing. It has nothing to do with the teaching, okay? There's not two different types. I mean, we do teach differently. It's about the attitude of the believer, I believe. It's what you're coming for. Are you looking for the master in the Word of God sitting here, or are you looking at the pastor in the pastor's words? That's what it's about. Peter, Paul, Apollos, they had the same. They were teaching the same. They had different teaching ways that they taught or skills, but it was the same teaching, but they weren't able to receive those deep truths from the Word of God. And that's because the carnal person is not paying attention to the teachings that they're hearing. And that's why James said, hey, don't just be a hearer of it, but be a what? A doer of it. You can hear it and then leave here today, this morning, and it's gone. Or you can hear it, take it in, meditate on it, and be a doer of it. There's a difference. But the carnal person is not paying attention to the teaching. They're not listening to what's being said. They don't study. They don't pray. They don't get involved. They don't serve Christ. The carnal believer has to be fed with very basic and not deep, not the deep things of God's word. And then number three, the third point, is that the carnal man is characterized by what? Division. Look at verse 3. He says, for where there are envy and strife and division among you, are you not carnal? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? So division is a proof that Christians can be carnal. Whether the division is within their homes, within their marriages, their families, or even within the church. And Paul, he tells us, and I'm going to be ending it right now. He tells us in verse 3 and 4 that carnality is seen. It's seen in the acts of what? Division, okay? The word division means dissension. It means sedition. And then he says, and also in envy and strife. You know, envy leads to jealousy. And when people become jealous of one another, that leads to division. And they become divided. And that leads to, after they become divided, that leads to strife. Strife is the Greek word for strife is quarreling. It means debating. It means arguing with one another. So envy leads to jealousy, and that leads to differences and strife, and strife leads to division. And Paul says that such behavior is carnal. That's carnality. It's the flesh. And it shouldn't belong in the church, and it shouldn't belong in your life as a believer. So the bottom line is that carnality is seen when Christians live and when they act like non-believers. That's the key. That's carnality. Examine yourself. Are you living and you acting like the world? Living for the world. Carnal Christians live for the world. They don't live for Christ. So how can you evaluate whether you are carnal or not? You got to ask yourselves, what is my appetite for as a believer? What do I crave? What am I seeking after? What is most precious? What is the most great thing that's in my life? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Listen to what it says. For though by this time, he says, you ought to be a teacher. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the articles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, and that is those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the milk of the world deals with what? What it could deal with what Jesus did for us here on earth. I mean, baby Christians, carnal Christians, they only know the basics, the easy things of the world, of the Word of God, excuse me. And the carnal man, he can only receive milk, just like a baby. I think of Lorenzo, a little baby. That's what a carnal Christian is like. If you bring Lorenzo up here, he can't do nothing. I can set him down, okay, go back to your seat. He can't even hold his head. He's probably like, remember when you had the baby, you're like, and every time Carmen handed me my son, his head go like this, and it's like, I try to do the bobblehead thing. You got to put your hand behind his head so, you know, you can hold him up. They're babies, okay? A carnal man can only receive milk, just like a baby. Somebody who has to be pampered. Someone has to be burped. As a Christian, do you need to be burped? Do you need your pamper changed? Okay? It's funny, my grandson, he's now learning how to use the restroom and not use a diaper. The problem is that we have to break them to go to use the bathroom in the toilet and not in the plants. He's like, okay, I got to go to the bathroom, so I want to go on Nana's plants. Well, he's been busted a few times doing that. So, yeah, yesterday for the first time, I got to go pee. Okay, come on, let's go. Goes, no, over here. And I'm looking over here. The plants are over there. No, let's go in here. No, he fought me to go there. And I thought, you're going to go there, and then the dogs are going to go there, and this is going to be a vicious cycle. So I forced him to go to the bathroom. But again, a carnal Christian has to be burped. He has to be counseled. He has to constantly be explained the things to him. The carnal man does not know what it means to open up the Word, to seek the Lord, to walk day by day with Him. Now let's do what Chuck Smith says, and then I'll stop here. He says, now when a person first is born again by the Spirit of God, they are spiritual babies, right? You become a spiritual baby in the Lord. Babes in Christ. It's always beautiful to behold that fresh work of the Spirit of God in their lives. But if after 15 years, 20 years, and so on, if they're still in the crib state and they haven't matured, they haven't developed in their spiritual growth or maturity, then it's painful and it's tragic to behold. It's important that we grow up. So let me ask you this morning, are you still in the crib state as a Christian? Are you still sleeping in the crib? There were six of us in my family, and we only had one bedroom. I had to sleep in the crib till how old was I? Yeah, probably getting in, but at least I got to get in and out by myself. You know, six of us, every time we got in trouble, all of us got in trouble at the same time, I was always stuck in the bathroom. I don't know why my dad always put me in the bathroom. Nita was babied. But are you in the crib state? Do you need to be burped by the Lord as a believer? Or are you diving into the meat of the Word? That meat, that deals with what Jesus is doing for us on our behalf in heaven now. It's deeper. It could be learning the deep, deep things of God or in His Word. It could be doctrine. So the Word of God is our spiritual food. And I'm going to stop here and we'll pick it up. I'm going to pick up the meaning of the meat of the Word. We just looked at the milk of the Word, a Christian, a carnal Christian. And we're going to look at the spiritual man as well, and more of what is the meat of the Word, all right? So let's pray, and then I will let you go. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your Word. And Lord, sometimes when we share the Word, sometimes it could be convicting. Sometimes it could be edifying, it could be encouraging, it could be chastisement. The whole purpose of that is for our maturity, for us to grow in the Lord, as we're going to continue to see next week. Knowing God and knowing you personally, knowing you, Father, and growing in Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. And I pray if there's anybody here that's still sleeping in the crib and they're in their relationship with you, in their maturity in the Word of God, if they still have to be burped, if they still have to be pampered, if they're still wearing a spiritual pamper, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would open their eyes to what you require of them. So bless us, Lord. Bless us and lead us, Lord. We want to be led directly by you, Father. We want to know you more personally. We want to know your word personally. We want to know our calling personally. So let us grow. There's so many blessings and great things in knowing the Word of God. So thank you, Father. Bless everybody and what we have in store today. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's stand.